Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
You know, our hearts cry all this year. We've been saying it since the beginning of 2016. It's always what we want from God, but we've just made a renewed declaration and commitment that there would be less of us and more of Him. Amen? Less of me and more of Him. That's our heart's cry. How many want more of God? Amen? Just less of my wants, less of my desires, less of my thinking, less of my ideas, less of me. I want less of me, and I want more of God in my life. And you know, I just want to say good job coming to church this early Sunday morning. Usually the first service on Spring Forward is a little, hardly any people, and then they all come to second service and we're crowded and nowhere to park and all that kind of good stuff. But good job getting up this early this morning, amen? It was funny, I was leaving today and my dog Gilby, the big white one, he was snug as a bug in his bed. And he had to come out of that room, and so I was like, buddy, you got to get up. You know, he didn't want to get up. He was like, why are you leaving so early? Yeah. And so it takes them a little while to get used to that Spring Forward as it does us. But here we are. We're doing our series, Jesus Is. Amen. Last week we had such a great time talking that Jesus is our shepherd. Aren't you glad you have a shepherd? Aren't you glad that God loves you? Aren't you glad that your shepherd provides for you, cares for you, feeds you, protects you? Aren't you glad that that rod in Psalms 23 isn't for you? It's for who's ever coming after you. Amen. Aren't you glad that God loves you so much? Oh, I'm so glad. And today we're going to talk about something, you know, I don't really preach about this very often. I did a whole series last year about Jesus is coming again. Come on now. And a lot of times, you know, there's like two crowds. Some people love to talk about Jesus coming back. They love to talk about revelations. They love to talk about 666. And they love to talk about tattoos. And they love to talk about all that stuff. They love to talk about the end times. Lots of people love to do that. And then there's the rest of us. And we're kind of like, well, you know, I don't really want to talk about that. Because we know it's happening and we know Revelations is there, but I don't know about you, but I grew up in a generation that, you know, they just scared the living daylights out of you with Revelations. Anybody else grow up like that? And so it kind of has, but you know, the more I learn Revelations in the proper context and the more I understand who I am and where I am in Revelations, it doesn't bring fear to me anymore. It brings insight and it brings exactly what it's supposed to, revelation to me. Amen? And so I just want to, we need to know about it. We need to learn about it. We need to be excited about Jesus coming back. And you know, before I had proper understanding, I used to think, you know, oh, I didn't really want Jesus to come back. Ooh, some of you are like, you've never thought that before. Okay, all right, you've never thought that before. But you always think, oh, Jesus, don't come back until I do this, or until I do that, or until I have this experience. But you know, when we think like that, I just want to encourage you, and me too, when I thought like that, I don't think like that anymore, because thank God, God got a hold of me and straightened me out. But when we think like that, we don't have an understanding of what He's coming back for. And what's going to happen when He does come back? Because it's going to be so, so good and so great and so wonderful that there's nothing here that we will miss. There is no experience here that can even compare to what Jesus has for us. Amen? No experience can even compare to it. And so if you have that kind of thinking, it, you know, we've all probably been there, but let's get the word on it. Amen? How many want to get the word on it? Yeah. Not like, you know, a movie or a book or all these kind of things. Let's go right to Jesus' word on it and find out what it means for Him to come back and why He's coming back. You know, it's good news that He's coming back. Yeah. It's good news that He's coming back. And so, you know, let's just all get together and say, all right, let's talk about Jesus coming back. You guys ready? Let's go to our text scripture for this series. And that's found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You can follow along in your Bible app. Don't forget, you got all kind of notes on there just to make it easier for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to read it to you from the Message paraphrase. And it says, this is Paul writing, and he says, "You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did. Crucified. Jesus crucified." And really, that's what the whole gospel is about. Don't hesitate to share your faith with people because you don't think you know enough. It's not your job to impress people. That's not your job. We're not here to impress people. Your job and my job is to be a witness to what Jesus has done in my life. I don't have to tell you all the books of the Bible. I don't have to impress you with all the things I have memorized. I don't need to impress you with big words that you have to go look up. Paul said, we don't need to do that. What we need to do is tell who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Amen? That's it. Keep it plain. Keep it simple. There's a God who loves you, came for you, died for you, and wants to pay the price for your sin. That's the gospel. That's the gospel right there. And so Paul's saying, listen, I want to keep it simple. And so we're going to keep it simple again, talking about Jesus coming back. So turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Everybody turn there. Acts chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 9 through 11. Now we know how Jesus got here, and just a reminder, Jesus came in a literal body, amen? How many celebrate Christmas? We're celebrating the birth of Christ. Jesus came, and he was born in a manger, and he came for you, and he came for me, but he was born in a literal body, right? All right. Everybody look this way. We're talking about Jesus. Amen? And so when we think about that, and then we know that Jesus was here, he lived 33 years, three of his last years were spent in ministry, and then he went to the cross. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter here very soon. We're going to celebrate Easter in a few weeks, and that's the celebration of Jesus going to the cross, his death, his resurrection, amen? His death, his burial, and his resurrection. So we know that Jesus was born. Jesus walked on this earth perfectly. Jesus served in the ministry for 3 years, telling everybody what was to come, who he was. Then he went onto the cross and he paid the price for your sins and my sins when he died on the cross. And then we know that he was buried. How many know this story?
Yes.
He was buried in a tomb, and when they went for him 3 days later, he wasn't there because Jesus had rose again.
Yes.
We sing the song on Easter. I tell you, if you've ever heard this song, Dolly Parton of all people sings this song so beautifully. He is alive. Oh boy, she sings. I got that on my phone. I listen to it sometimes. And he is alive. We celebrate that. But then, after Jesus rose again, he walked on this earth for about 40 days, the Bible says, in his glorified body. He walked here, and he told people about some things. And then after 40 days, the Bible says that two men in white appeared from heaven, and they came, and he rose up again. And so we're going to look here. I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead. Acts chapter 1, it says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven, listen, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And so they are telling us, and the Word of God tells us, in all that there's over 300 scriptures in the New Testament alone that talks about Jesus coming again. And so in every book of the Bible, every single one, all 66, every single book of the Bible references Jesus returning in some way or another. And so how many know this is a big, big thing? This is big. And so we see here in Acts chapter 1, we see that he was taken up into heaven, and they say he's going to come back again in the same way. And so we know that Jesus is coming back. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back. And the thing about it is, and I'm just going to tell you some things about, and we're not going to go real deep into this because we did it a few months ago in our end time series that we did and just had a great time learning all about the end times. But I just want to tell you a few things about Jesus coming again and what it means for you and what it means for me. Because a lot of times we want to talk about, you know, the tribulation and all this, and we do need to talk about that. But today I want to talk to you about it a little bit different way. But one thing we got to know is when Jesus returns, Jesus is coming unexpectedly. Everybody wants to know when Jesus is coming back. And, you know, and how many have seen where people have put, you know, where people have said, oh, Jesus is coming this day. They go on the news. It's all this big deal. And then that day comes and nothing happens. Nothing happens. And so Jesus is coming unexpectedly. Matthew 24, if you want to learn about Jesus returning, Matthew 24 is all about the return of Jesus. And it says, Matthew 24, verse number 3, it says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And so after Jesus is talking all about him coming back, the disciples go privately and they want to get the inside scoop. They said, tell us. Tell us, when is this happening? And from that day until today, everybody wants to know when Jesus is coming back. But then Matthew 24, verses 40 through 42, it says, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. We don't know the day. And you know, Jesus could not tell them what day he was coming, because the Bible says that Jesus himself does not know. Only the Father knows. Only the Father knows when Jesus will be returning. But it will be unexpectedly. But there are signs. How many know there are signs? Jesus said you will recognize the signs that he is returning. And here's some, you know, and I know, and ever since I was a kid, I remember when I was a kid, and my parents had a Bible study. We were talking about it the other day. My parents had a Bible study in at our house when we lived in Indiana, and the pastor came, and we grew up in a fundamental Baptist church. That means you didn't wear pants, the whole nine yards. Fundamental Baptist church. And so he came, and he had these big charts that he put on the wall, and it was terrifying. It was terrifying. You know, just honestly, it was just the way that they taught it was just terrifying. And, you know, and all this stuff. And from that moment, you know, even at that time, and especially during the 80s, with the Russians and all this, there was so much that this was the time that Jesus was coming back. And I'll never forget, I was reading in a magazine, I think it was like Time, my parents always got like Time magazine, that kind of thing. And there was this story in there about this flower that bloomed in the desert. How many know that sounds familiar? This flower bloomed in the desert, and it had never bloomed in the desert before, but it bloomed in the desert. And I remember reading that article as a young person and saying, well, that's it. And telling my parents, why do I even need to go to school? Why am I going to school? Jesus is coming back. This flower has bloomed in the desert. I don't even need to go to school. You know, I was probably like 10 at that time. And I was completely serious, 100% serious. Like, this is nonsense for me to go to school. I told my dad that. And he was like, you're going to school. You know, you're going to school until Jesus comes back. That's where you're just going to go. Now here I am. I'm 48. I'm going to be 49. And we're still here. Jesus hasn't come back. So everybody always thinks that their generation is a time that Jesus is returning. But here's the thing about right now. Here's the thing about right now. And I don't say this to scare anybody, because when you understand the peace that comes when you know Jesus is coming back for you because he loves you. He's coming back for you because he's prepared a place for you. He's coming back for you because you are his bride. And so there should be no fear in knowing that Jesus is returning. But here's the truth about the time that we live in that has never been true before. All the signs, all of them, without exception, have been fulfilled. And we're the only generation that can say that. And so does that mean Jesus is coming back tomorrow? I have no idea. But does it mean he's coming back soon? Yes. is coming back soon. And so we don't know the time, we don't know the day, but we do know the season. And the Word of God has signs that He has put in, that He has said, listen, when these signs come, that means I'm coming. And they've been coming to pass through the generations. And now they've come to pass. And so look at all these faces. You guys need this message today. All the young people are like, what? I haven't done this, and I haven't done this. No, you're going to be all right. But He's coming to get the church. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. It says, for the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. When Jesus, you know, we say, why is Jesus coming back? Jesus is coming back for you and for me. Remember, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's coming back to take us to that place. And the Bible says that when He returns, there will be no tears. And so if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to be so upset. No, you're not, because there's not going to be any tears when Jesus returns for you. And when it says the dead, those who have died first, what Jesus is going to do, He's going to gather together all those that have gone on before us. He's going to gather people that we love who are in heaven. He's going to gather them together. He's going to gather, you know, my mom, and He's going to gather Pastor Mark, and He's going to gather Ava, and He's going to gather your mom. He's going to gather them all together, and then He's going to come for us. Amen? And it's going to be, you know, we don't sing songs like this anymore, but I think we should. There used to be songs that we'd sing, and we'd say, oh, what a glorious time it will be when we all get to heaven. Yes. Amen? What a glorious time it will be when we all get to heaven. Jesus is coming back. It's the gospel.
That's right.
He's coming back for you, and He's coming back for me because He loves us. Because He loves us. He's coming back because He's got a place for us. And He's coming back, and the Bible says that what He's going to do, and we're just going to touch on this. Say, touch on this.
Touch on this.
So if this confuses you, you need to get what we talked about a few months ago on the end times. You need to get that. But I don't think it'll confuse you. The Bible says Jesus is coming back. You know what He's going to do? Because some of us, you know, we think like, I don't want to, you know, when you think of heaven, you think you're just going to go to heaven and you're going to sing in a choir, right? You're going to sing in a choir, or you're going to be a fat little baby and you're going to take up the violin, you know, and sit on a cloud all day. That is not what we're going to be doing. It is not what we're going to be doing. You know, we're not going to do that. Jesus is coming back, and the Bible says he's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. He is going to take this earth right here, this one that we have, and He is going to return it to it. The Bible says, restore it. How many learned what restore means last week? That means He's going to take it back to its original design. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That means, the original design. That's before the apple, before Adam, before Eve got themselves in a little mess. It's before all of that. Jesus is going to take this earth back to that. He's going to take it back to no sickness. He's going to take it back to no death. He's going to take it back to there. He's going to return it. He's going to restore it. And you know, it's important what we do now, because what we do now determines what we do then. All right? And I'll teach you that in just a second. Here we go. He's coming to get His church. Now, turn over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. So we know that Jesus is coming. He's going to come unexpectedly. He's going to come unexpectedly. We know why He's coming. He's coming for His church. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. He's coming for the body of Christ. He's coming for what the Bible calls His bride. He's coming for us. And then the next thing, and this is a tough one. Tell your neighbor to say, get ready.
Get ready.
Get ready. He's coming, and He will judge the earth. You know, nobody, like, we live in a society today that does not want to be corrected. Nobody wants to be corrected. Nobody wants to be judged. If you say something is wrong, and how many know there are some things that are just wrong? They're just flat wrong. And if you say they're wrong, what do people say? Don't judge me. Don't judge me. And, you know, and then they say, you're not perfect, so you can't judge me. Well, here's the thing. Jesus is perfect, and he is going to judge you. He is. Because that's what he's coming. That's one of the reasons why he's coming back. Now, don't get nervous. Look at your neighbor and say, don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. Let's all take a deep breath. Let it out. It's going to be all right. For 2 Thessalonians, it says, God is just. God is just. Justice will cover the earth. God is coming back to judge, and he is judging as a just God. How many love justice?
Yes.
Right? You know, we love when the right is right and the wrong is wrong. We love that. Justice. He says, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Somebody are like, now we're talking.
Yes.
Now we're talking. And give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Oh, let's just take a minute and get a picture of that. When Jesus comes back with his blazing fire and his powerful angels. Oh, people are saying, oh, Jesus is a wimp or Jesus is that. They will see who Jesus really is. They will see it. It says, in his blazing fire with his powerful angels, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes. Now, this is harsh. It's harsh. But the very first part, say this with me, God is just. God is just. And here's the thing. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Somebody has to pay the price for sin. Now, Jesus has already paid the price.
Amen.
He's already paid the price. And the only reason that you would be judged and separated from the presence of God, and the only reason is if you refuse to allow Jesus to pay the price for your sin. That's the only reason. Because there is a price to pay. But Jesus said, I'll pay it for you. But there are hard heads. How many know there's some hard heads in the world? How many have met a couple of hard heads? And they're just bound and determined to pay their own price. And it's sad, and it's heartbreaking, but God is just. And some people that don't know God don't understand. They say, how could God? You ever hear that question? How could God is not willing that any perish. God is not willing. Hell is not meant for people. It's not designed for people. God doesn't want anyone there. But there is justice, and somebody's got to pay for sin. And Jesus has made the ultimate sacrifice through love and through mercy to pay for your sin and for mine and for every single human being that will ever walk this earth. He is saying repeatedly, come to me, I'll pay the price. But if you refuse to let Jesus do what he came to do, it's not going to be good for you. And we live in a time where we don't want to talk about these things. We live in a time where we don't want to talk about it because it makes people uncomfortable. But it's our responsibility to talk about it. It's our jobs to talk about it because it is reality. It's real. God is not sending anyone to hell. He does not do that. He has made the way for everyone to have eternal life. Everyone. And you know, and I believe And you can disagree, and you can write me, send me an email. Send it to iwon'treadit.com. Because I won't read it. But I believe that heaven is going to have a lot of people in there that none of us thought got there. And I'll tell you why I believe that. Because God is so good and so merciful.
Amen.
And he is a God of last chance.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if I were you, I wouldn't hold out for that last chance. I'd get on board now. But I believe, because I've just heard, I remember, Pastor, we were talking yesterday. It was my brother Mike's birthday, and we were all out for breakfast. And we, you know how conversation goes. And my my niece, Nicole, she said, I never heard the story of how you got born again. She said that to my brother and I. And so we start talking about how we got saved and how we got where we are. And you can't tell that story without talking about Pastor Mark. But I remember Pastor Mark saying that before he was saved, that on every turn, everywhere he'd go, he would walk down the beach, somebody talked to him about Jesus. Every weekend, somebody would knock on his door and talk to him about Jesus. He'd slam the door, and he'd curse him out, and he'd tell him to get out of there. But it was constant. It was constant. That's the love of God. That's the love of God knocking on the hearts of the unbeliever. That's the role of the Holy Spirit in the body, in the earth, here to convict the world of sin, not to make them feel bad, but to show them they need Jesus. That's what he's doing. He's doing it with love. He doesn't condemn, he convicts. He doesn't make people feel bad. He just says, you're not okay by yourself, you need Jesus. That's what he's doing. He's doing it to every single unbeliever on the planet right now. And people would just continually knock on pastor's door, and everywhere he would go, he'd be at the grocery store, and he would be like, it was ridiculous. He said it was ridiculous. And then one day he was sitting and he was watching Billy Graham on TV. And Billy Graham started talking about the God-sized hole in your heart. And in his apartment, he got on his knees and he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he was never the same again. He got saved. That's the love of God. The love of God is knocking on people's hearts constantly, telling them, you need me. You need me. You need a Savior. And if it's someone's last breath, if it's their last breath, like the thief on the cross next to Jesus, they'll still get in. Amen? That's the God we serve. And so when we talk about justice and judgment, it's reality. There's a price that has to be paid. And you can be a hardhead, and you can ignore the knocks your whole life, and you can choose to pay that price on your own. But if you do, you will be separated from God. And there is a hell. It is a literal place. Don't let these newfangled gospel preachers are trying to tell you the hell is that one gospel, one guy, it's not even gospel. You can't even call it gospel because it's not gospel. It's not the word. Saying that hell is not a real place, that we're in hell right now. That's ridiculous. Your worst day as an American, there are people all over the world that give their life to have your worst day.
Yeah. Come on.
Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Don't fall for that. Those are lies. Those are lies from the devil. And that's the truth. That's the truth. But Jesus is coming to judge. And as a believer, I remember growing up in church and hearing that I would be judged. That God, I would sit before the throne of God, and he would have like a big filing case, and he would pull out all my sins, and we'd go over them one by one. That's not how it works. Somebody do this. Whew, thank God. The Bible says that your sins, as a believer, can't even be remembered. They've been cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God. But there is a judgment for you and for me as believers. We will go to a second, the Bible talks about a second judgment. We will go and we will be judged, not on our sins. We're not going to be judged for that because we're forgiven. Those are under the blood of Jesus. They've been removed from us. But we will be judged based on what we do with our lives. We'll be judged. We all want to hear, well done. What's the rest? Thy good and faithful servant. Well, in order to hear well done, you got to do something. Amen? In order to hear thy good, you better be good. You want to hear faithful? Be faithful. We all want to hear well done, thy good and faithful servant. In order to be called a servant, you got to serve. Amen? You got to serve the body of Christ. You got to serve people. You got to serve Jesus. You got to get off your high horse and think everybody's serving you, and you got to serve. Amen? We all want to hear that, but we don't want to do that. I tell you what, when the jobs get handed out, they're going to be handed to people that we don't even know their names, because they're the ones who have been faithful. They're the ones who have prayed in the night for people. They're the ones who know nobody. They're the grandmas who prayed all of us into heaven. Amen. Those are the people that are going to be get these big giant crowns. We're going to be like, who's that? Who's that? They were the ones who served. They were the ones who did what Jesus called them to do. And so there is a judgment coming. And it's different for believers and unbelievers. But it's coming. Because Jesus said when he comes, he's coming to judge. And so now that we know, Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back, and he's coming back for me. He's coming back for you because he loves me. He has a place for me. He wants to be with me. That's your shepherd. He wants to gather the whole flock together. He wants to take us out of here. Amen. And it's going to be good. And when you start thinking like, oh, but I'm going to miss this, and I'm going to... No, you're not. No, you're not. I get those thoughts sometimes like, oh, but this and that. You're not going to miss anything. Because what a glorious day it will be when we all get to heaven. God's got something we can't even imagine. You know, think about... You know, sometimes you see pictures of places on the earth. They're just so beautiful. They don't even look real, right? I mean, anybody seen some of those pictures? Yeah. And if you're blessed and you've been to some of those places. You know, I had seen pictures of the Grand Canyon. I'd seen pictures. Oh, it's nothing like the real thing. I mean, you just look and it just goes on forever. And it's just, the beauty of it is just, it's beyond words. I had seen pictures of Alaska and the glaciers and things. Oh, but seeing it in person... And you think about the most beautiful thing you have ever seen on this earth. And then remind yourself, it has been decaying and living in a fallen world for over 2,000 years. We don't know what beauty is, but Jesus is going to show us. Amen. Amen? He's going to show us stuff that, oh, it's just going to be so good. And all the tears and all the pain and all the hurt and all the body aches and all the disease and all the medication and all the heartache and all the abuse will end.
Amen.
Glory. It will end. Glory. That's what Jesus is going to do. Amen. So now that we know he's coming back, and he's coming unexpectedly, and he's coming to get the church, and he's coming and justice is coming with him. What am I supposed to do? You hear this, hear a message like this. What do I do now? What am I supposed to do? Because when I get judged, I want to be a good and faithful servant. Amen? That's what I want to be. So what do I do? Here's what we're supposed to be doing. You guys ready? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, this is after Jesus had walked. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and in his kingdom, he says, I give you this charge. He's got some word, he's got some instructions for us. And one of them is found in Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter. 22 and 23, it says, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. Isn't that good? Be merciful to those in doubt. Listen, quit being so hard on people that don't know Jesus. Come on. Quit being so hard on people that have different ideas. Just be merciful to those in doubt. Don't just write them off as idiots. Don't just write them off and say, oh, it's hopeless. You know, I've heard people say stuff like that. It's just like, come on. We were all like that one time. We were all with darkened minds. All of us were blind at one time. But the Bible says, be merciful to those. Don't give them what they need, what they deserve. What should we give them? What they need. That's what mercy is. You might need a smack across the face, but I'm not going to give you that. I'm going to give you love instead, because that's mercy. Mercy gives us what we need, not what we deserve. And the Bible says, be merciful to those in doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. Not that we save them, the blood of Jesus does, but when we tell them about what God has done in our lives. What's happening? I'm so thankful that the people reached out to me. They prayed for me. They didn't just say, oh, she's so hopeless, even though I looked it. I am so thankful that somebody reached and snatched me back. Amen? And a lot of times you reach out in the spirit when you're praying for people. You're reaching out in the spirit and you're holding them. You're holding them. You're standing in the gap for them. That's our jobs. And see, it's right here. It's on our pulpit. It's one of pastors' one of the things, reach. We got to reach out and be merciful to people. Merciful. Don't roll your eyes at people. Love people. You know, Easter's coming. You know, a lot of times, and we say this every year, but it's so true. People are looking for somewhere to go to church on Easter. They're looking. Stand up and say, hey, come with me. Come with me. Come and see what's important to me. Come and see what God has used to change my life. Come with me. Let's snatch some people. You know, I was telling the staff last night, I feel led. You know, Easter's 2 weeks away. I feel led. I'm going to be praying and fasting for these next 2 weeks for the Easter service. For every invite to just snatch somebody. For every person that drives by, that they'll just be snatched. Amen? For all of our coworkers and those that are the lady at Publix that checks your groceries every week, I'm just going to be praying and fasting that they'll be snatched into the body of Christ. God would move in their lives, that this Easter would be a day of salvation. Amen? A day of life change. A day where eternal destinies are changed. A day where that day of judgment means something totally different. Because as a believer, it's going to be totally different. And so I just encourage you, pray about it. Ask the Lord what he would have you lay down this week. Remember, less of you, less of what you want. Let's lay some things down and say, Lord, I'm gonna put this down to make more room for you. That's what fasting does. We put stuff down to make more room for him. To pray and to fast for people who don't know Jesus. And think about how many go in the grocery store today? Anybody go in the grocery store today? Are you going to a restaurant today? Are you going somewhere public today? You're going, just take a second and look around and realize most of the people here don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. So I need to be merciful and reach out. Amen? Reach out. Next thing I need to do as a believer, because I know Jesus is coming, is found in 2 Corinthians 4:18, is really stay focused on eternity. How many know eternity is more important than right now? You know, whatever we got going on here, it's going to last, 80, 90 years? But what I do spiritually is going to last for eternity. And how many know eternity is eternal? That's just deep. That is deep right there. Needs to be a bumper sticker. Eternity is eternal. And we don't even have the ability to concept how long eternity is. We don't even have that. It is longer. You know, sometimes think, oh, this is lasting forever. No, it isn't. Oh, this is eternal. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Eternity is going to go on forever. It will never stop. And what I do spiritually is going to determine my eternity. And the Bible tells me, it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Eternal. Let's fix our eyes on what is eternal. Let's be eternity minded. John Bevere wrote a great book called Eternity Minded. To think about not just today, but eternity. When you're eternity minded, it changes how you spend your money. It changes how you spend your time. It changes how you treat people. It changes you. Because you understand that what I can hold in my hand will only last a short time. But what I do in the spirit lasts forever. We need to be eternity minded. And last thing is, be ready. Be ready. Jesus is coming back for his bride. And just like every wedding day, the bride wants to look beautiful. Wants everything to be right. You know what? We need to be ready. 2 Peter 3:10 and 12 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Because you know what? Listen, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back to judge. And so the Bible says, what should you be doing? What kind of people should you be knowing that Jesus is coming back? You know, there was a recent CNN poll, and it said that 63% of Americans believe that Jesus Christ is returning. But the interesting thing said that only 40% of them believed that he was the Lord and Savior and were following him. What are those other 20% thinking? You know, right? And so people know. I mean, Jesus is coming back and says, what kind of people should you be? Well, it tells us right here, you ought to live holy and godly lives. Live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed is coming. Be holy. Be godly. Be holy. Be godly. Be more concerned about what the Word says than what the world says. Amen? Be more concerned about what God says, what God wants, than what I want. Be holy. Be godly. So what kind of people should we be? What ought we be doing? Be holy. Be godly. Amen? Because Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back because he loves us. He wants to be with us. You say, why is it taking so long? You know why? You know why he's not back now? He could come back anytime. All the signs have been fulfilled. Because God, in his mercy and his grace, we live in a time, you know, here in the States, or, you know, we start thinking like, oh, you know, we don't have a clue about how many people are getting born again. And this is why Jesus hasn't returned yet. Because God is not willing that any should perish. And there is a push of the gospel across this earth. And it is coming to America. I believe that with everything in me. It is coming. Revival is coming. Because Jesus, God wants people to be saved. And Jesus is waiting. God is waiting. He's like, one more, one more, one more. Amen. Because he loves people. Amen. Do you know that today, over 34,000 Chinese people will get born again for the first time? Because there is revival in that nation. Isn't that incredible? They say every day, there's people that they're called a missionologist or something like that. And so all they do is study the move of God. Oh, that's all they do. All they do. And they say that in China, the gospel is just spreading like fire. And it's at threat of their own lives because it's still illegal. Isn't that crazy? With all, you know, we're you know, the whole news is filled with about the refugees and the refugee crisis. But one thing that it has done, it's opened the door for the gospel. Because on the shores of all those countries are people spreading the gospel. And so Muslims that have never heard the gospel before are hearing it and receiving it. That's happening now. Right now. Right now. So why hasn't it happened? Because God is like, here's more. Oh, wait, more's coming. Oh, wait, more's coming. Jesus, one day God's going to say, go get my church. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. How do I be ready? Be holy. Be godly. And it's not about the works. It's not about the behavior. It's about the relationship. And then that changes everything. So how do I do that? Draw close to the Lord. Get serious with God. Quit playing the hokey pokey with your walk with God. One day you're in, one day you're out. Just get in and stay in. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're so grateful that you're so good and kind to us. And Lord, I know and we know that your word says that you are coming back for us because you love us, because you have a place for us, because you have things for us to do. And Lord, we want to be ready. If you're here today with nobody looking around out of respect for the people that are here, and you say, Peggy, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready, but I want to be ready. I want to get ready. So when Jesus comes back, I'm ready. First thing you need to do, you have got to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've got to open up your heart and say, Jesus, I want to give you all of me for all of you. You've got to move out of the driver's seat and let Jesus drive your life. You've got to surrender yourself to him. Say, Jesus, save me, rescue me. And I know that if you haven't, I know that you're just like my brother, where on every turn, there was somebody saying, God loves you. You got to get saved. God's been talking to your heart before this day. But today is the day for you to respond and say yes to Jesus. If that's you, with nobody looking around, you say, I want to give Jesus all of me. I want to receive forgiveness for all of my sins. I want to know that I know that when Jesus returns, I'm going with him. I want to be saved. If that's you, don't be embarrassed. Don't let fear keep you from your eternity. Just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. That's me. Thank you, Lord. Or knowing most of us in here today, we're probably all already have done that. But maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I haven't been doing what I ought to do. I need to get some things straight. And so just right where you're at, you don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to do anything like that. Let's just pray this prayer together because it's probably more than one of us in here today. We just need to take care of some things. Need to clean house a little bit so that we're ready when Jesus comes back. And so let's just say this prayer. Let's all say it together. If there's someone here, and I don't want you to have to say it by yourself. And so maybe you're saying it for the sake of someone else, or maybe you're saying it for you. But one good thing about being in the body of Christ is you don't have to do stuff alone anymore. Now you got a family to do it with. And so for the sake of anybody here who might need to say this prayer, let's all say it with them. Say, Father God, today I want to be ready for your return. I want to serve you and be and do what you've called me to do. So Lord, those things that I need to lay down, that I need to stop doing, I just lay them down today. And I ask for your strength and your help that I keep them down and I walk closer with you. Because my heart wants to be holy and godly for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.